You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
All right, back here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on a Buffalo Football Friday. Brought to you by Salino Law. Car crash? Call Salino. And by Crosby's Pizza and Subs. Start your game day the Crosby's way. We are awaiting Bills head coach Sean McDermott momentarily. We will ask him, of course, about injuries. A lot of eyes on Terrell Bernard and whether or not he'll be available to play this weekend. Terrell has been on the injury report this week, A, with the ankle injury and the pectoral injury he suffered a few weeks ago that he's still getting maintenance on in some capacity. Obviously, that's why he's listed there, but mainly the ankle from last week. But he's also been an excused absence from practice. So some clarity from Sean McDermott coming up on today's practice and what that looks like for this weekend in Seattle. Also, Curtis Samuel has yet to practice this week due to a pectoral injury himself. So we'll get all that. And then, of course, look ahead to the Seattle Seahawks. Sabres play tomorrow. It's an afternoon game. I sense a little bit of excitement and optimism in Sabres fans right now after the way they've played a little bit since coming back from Europe. Yeah, I know. They lost that first game coming back, but they played really well against the LA Kings, the opener. They should have been rewarded that game. They weren't. And then they get the reward against the Florida Panthers. But really, since they came back from Europe, it hasn't been bad. You know what I mean? There's been times. I think really they've played pretty good hockey mostly. Not every game, not every minute, no doubt. I should say it that way. But let's look here. What's where the standings? I was looking at the standings this morning. You know, the Atlantic Division is kind of really tight, and I don't know if anybody's going to pull away. That's why these next couple games are very, very important for the Sabres. They play the Red Wings, and they play the Panthers. Every point matters right now. You cannot drop like you have the last several years into November, getting into Thanksgiving, and like, it's kind of over. What do you do? I mean, like, basically, Kyle Okposo said that last year after he was traded. Like, we kind of knew everything was over in November. Like, what are you playing for? You can't get there. So, you know, after the two losses, they've gone 3-2-1. And, of course, one was a brutal loss in Pittsburgh where they should have closed that one out. So that was a time where they didn't play well enough. But tomorrow, 1 o'clock p.m. start, against the Detroit Red Wings. Detroit, speaking of like teams playing, what did we say, high event earlier? Yeah, Detroit has a high event against them, yet they're winning. I saw a tweet, so I want to credit, I think it was Mike Harrington I saw it from the Buffalo News, who covers the Sabres, obviously. Let me just give you his tweet here. This was incredible when I looked at it. Red Wings' last three games. Check this out. They've won their last three. 5-2, 1-0, and 5-3. They've won by 3 goals, 2 goals, and 1 goal. And yet they've been outshot, respectively, in these games, get this, 39-22, 29-11, and 41-19. They outshot 41-19 against the Devils last night, and they win 5-3. They scored 5 goals on 19 shots, but yet they give up only 3 goals on 41 shots. That's some really good goaltending, and that is a astronomical shooting percentage that cannot be sustainable, right? I don't think so, Josh. I look, I'm like, that can't continue to happen.
No, I mean, that's like statistically impossible. But the just those numbers alone, you want to talk high event. That's probably as close as you can get to the highest high event hockey you can see. I mean,
against them for sure. I mean,
right.
But they're playing low event their way. But you're right. You're 100%. I get what you're saying. And then there's the Islanders. you're not gonna have the high event against them, right? 1-0 game. A total of 40 shots in the game.
They've played total. The same style of hockey for like 40 years. It's crazy.
No doubt. The Devils used to play that style of hockey, right? They're not anymore. The Devils are good. They're young. They're high-flying. They have a new coach as well. and Sheldon Keefe, and we saw them firsthand, obviously, in those games in Europe. So anyway, real big weekend coming up for the Sabres, obviously, coming up here against the Detroit Red Wings. And then after that, coming back and they're playing against the Florida Panthers on this homestand. We'll get to Sean McDermott, the Buffalo Bills head coach, right now on the Western Hotline.
Coach Sean McDermott's appearance on WGR is being brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. By Kaleida Health, the official healthcare provider of the Buffalo Bills. By Dunn Tire, official tire dealer of the Buffalo Bills. And by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop at northtownkia.com.
And Buffalo Bills head coach Sean McDermott joins me right now on the Western Hotline. Good Friday morning to you, Coach. Glad to talk to you again.
Well, it's good to be with you again, Sal.
All right, Coach, let's start off with the injury report. We'll get to that right away. And, of course, this is the Barnes Firm injury report brought to you by the Barnes Firm. Injured for help, call 1-800-8-MILLION. You've had a lot of guys listed, a couple DMPs, including Terrell Bernard, who's missed for a couple different reasons this week. So if you can give us, you know, what you have the latest there.
Yeah, we'll rule out Terrell Bernard. He'll be out for the game, as will Dwayne Carter and then Curtis Samuel as well.
Okay, Coach, and as far as today is concerned, practicing, do you anticipate everybody being available to practice today and anything on that front besides those guys?
Outside of those three, everyone will practice in some capacity today.
Okay. Coach, on injuries, I know long-term, and I know we see Matt Milano on the sidelines. I get asked a lot about his rehab. Just from your perspective, you see Matt around the building. How's everything going with Matt when you see him there and being around the team and, you know, just kind of what it's been looking like to have him around?
Yeah, he's been great to have around. He really has. Watching him go through his situation last year, very impressed by that and his process day to day. Same thing this year, unfortunately, in some ways, right? But his process is top shelf. His leadership has grown even through last year and then this year again. His influence, he's trying to do the best that he can and while not being out there. So, we're hoping to get him back. It's just a matter of when at this point.
Coach, you've had some slow starts, including last week. I know you've been asked about it a little bit, but you know what can you do to kind of figure it out? You know, because there's obviously play better early in the game, execution. But is there anything you can kind of do with the process? Is that something you think about? Is that something you look at with your staff, your analytics staff, anything, whether it's during the week, pregame, or the start of the game?
We definitely do. We kind of scour it the best we can in all those areas that you mentioned and beyond. And, like I've said before, give some credit to the opponent. They're out there playing as well and want to get off to a good start also. So, but certainly some things we can work on there.
Last week, Amari Cooper, I mean, right away makes an impact for your team, has a nice game, catches that touchdown pass. Josh Allen goes back to him after things didn't go so much his way on that first drive. What did it mean for you guys to have Amari as part of your team and making an impact right away like that?
Yeah, he makes us better. He does. And he's a good football player. He'll add to our mix and our balance offensively as well across the board.
And then, obviously, you know, he played, 19 snaps last week, 35%. As this goes along and people anticipate him playing more, you've gotten to know him a little bit. You know, just tell us a little bit about him kind of learning the playbook and what we learned last week, staying late, and the process of making sure that everything's kind of on track for him to kind of ramp up a little bit more each week.
No, he's a pro, and usually when you make it this far in one's career, you're doing something right, and that goes back to the process, as you mentioned, and willingness to put in more time, and I think that work ethic is a part of the reason why he's been in the league and been as successful as he's been over the years, and so that's going to continue as we move forward here, and we're anxious to see. And excited to see where that leads us this week and on into the future weeks here.
Keon Coleman had his first 100-yard game as a pro last week, and then he was named AFC Offensive Rookie of the Week. What did you see from the rookie last week in his game?
Well, he trusted the process. Again, not to use that word, overuse that word or phrase, but didn't have as much of the touches early in the game, but he stuck with it, which is important from a mindset standpoint. And a young player, that's hard to do when you're used to being the guy. And then he really came through for us in the fourth quarter there in particular.
And then on the defensive side, one guy I want to ask you about is Greg Rousseau. He had six quarterback hits last week, and they didn't translate to sacks. He did have the one, right? But, you know, you're getting numbers there. You're affecting the quarterback. They were running a lot of quick game, right? They were just getting the ball out of hands quickly. As a defensive coach yourself, a guy who's been there, is it tough to preach to stay patient, don't overdo it when you know you're impacting the play, but maybe the sacks aren't there because you're still impacting the quarterback in some way?
It is, and you know, perseverance is a series of short windows, if you will, and that's what you really have to do when you're rushing the quarterback. It's one play after another. Sometimes you reap the benefits of your work and technique, and sometimes you don't. But you got to stay with it through the course of the game, and the same way through the course of a season.
All right, Coach, let's talk about your opponent this week, the Seattle Seahawks. You have not been to Seattle as a head coach yet of the Buffalo Bills. I did look. The last time you were there was the defensive coordinator of the Carolina Panthers back in 2016. Tell us a little bit about the environment and the challenges playing in Seattle can pose.
Well, it's a tough environment, just like it is here for opponents when they come to Buffalo. And so that's an added part of the challenge as we go out there against a good football team and a team that's well coached as well. And this will be a challenge for us. It's one that we're looking forward to. And again, they've got a good football team.
Geno Smith leads the league in passing yards. What do you see from the veteran quarterback who's really resurrected his career?
Wow, he has. You know, it's been some years since we've faced him. A ton of respect for his game and the way he's developed his game over the years, in particular of late. Looks very comfortable in their system and does a great job. I think they're the number one ranked passing offense in the league.
And then, of course, on the other side of the ball, Coach Mike McDonald, a fantastic young defensive coach. I know from you coaching on that side of the ball how much respect you must have for him from what he's been able to do.
Yeah, a ton of respect for Coach there and what he's done and how he's gotten to this position that he's in. And, you know, he was around Coach Harbaugh, who I've spent a number of years around in Philadelphia years ago. And so there's some similarities there in terms of some of the influences and who John learned from and then who I've learned from as well over the years.
All right, Coach. Safe travels to Seattle. Good luck on Sunday. We'll talk to you next week. Thanks a lot.
Sounds great. Thanks, Sal.
All right, you got it. That is Bills head coach Sean McDermott. So obviously the big news. Terrell Bernard will be ruled out for this game. He will not play. Bills middle linebacker. Huge blow for the Bills. Huge blow against a Seattle Seahawks team with Kenneth Walker running the ball, with the leading quarterback leader in passing yards for the season in Geno Smith. We'll see from Seattle today if they have DK Metcalf available or not. That's going to be their big one. But they still have Tyler Lockett, Jaxon Smith-Njigba. So this is a very good Seattle offense. It's an offensive line, though, the Bills can try to take advantage of. However, no Dwayne Carter in this game. Interesting. So Dwayne Carter, let me look here. I thought it was interesting that he showed up on the injury report. Let me just look at the injury report from yesterday and compare it to Wednesday as I do this here, because this is one of those deals where Dwayne Carter, he was limited on Wednesday and limited on Thursday. So he has a wrist injury. So obviously the wrist injury, I would think, is the reason that they feel that he's, you know, not able to go. But a big blow on the defensive line as well. And then Curtis Samuel, he won't play in this game. That was kind of expected after missing 2 days with the pectoral. We'll see how the Bills adjust here as far as elevations. So what does this mean? Let's talk about roster for a second, okay? Let's go the other way first. Let's go Curtis Samuel. I would expect Tyrell Shavers, KJ Hamler, one of those guys maybe to be activated. Last time, I believe, it was Tyrell Shavers who was called up. No Dwayne Carter. The Bills do have options if they want to elevate somebody. Branson Dean, last time they needed somebody, he was elevated. They still have Ilyanku at defensive tackle. And if you really want to, because Dewan Smoot can play inside and outside, which, by the way, he was not on the injury report, which is good. Kingsley Jonathan, Cameron Klein, so you have some options there as well. And then at linebacker, I guess this would mean maybe that Joe Andreessen would be activated, but because Joe Andreessen would be your second middle linebacker in this situation based on the depth chart and how things generally go. So Bernard and then Baylen Specter would start, and Joe Andreessen would be their backup. That's how it would look on paper, at least. We'll see if the Bills go that way. So yeah, Terrell Bernard out. big blow against the Bills for the Bills, but we'll see about DK Metcalf for the Seattle Seahawks as well. The Seahawks have two former Buffalo Bills, one on the coaching side, Leslie Frazier, who obviously knows Sean McDermott's defense pretty much inside and out. And I guarantee you he's telling and talking to Geno Smith and the offensive players about that a lot this week and the offensive staff. He can also speak from experience of going against Josh Allen every single day in practice and talk to his defense about that. So he's going to have some intel that he can share. And then there's Tyrell Dodson. He's going to bring the juice. He's going to bring the energy. I talked to a lot of Bills players about facing him, their former teammate. And they all said the same thing. We know he's going to bring the energy. That's Tyrell for you. He's going to move to Will linebacker as they traded for a new middle linebacker. So he'll know some of the things that, you know, go on with the Bills defense. Bills, Seahawks, 4:05 p.m. We'll have your pregame show all day here on WGR. And, of course, the roundtable will begin at 2 p.m. I'll be on the field for that with Chris Brown and Eric Wood on the Buffalo Bills radio network. All right, let's get to week number 8 in the National Football League, which started last night. And again, let's just talk about last night and what happened a little bit here, because the Rams kind of salvaged their season where they win over the Minnesota Vikings. Now, the Vikings were everybody's darling, right? Just a couple of weeks ago. They're 5-0, they're rolling, they're just smoking teams. Well, now they've lost two in a row. They scored 20 points last night, lowest of their season. They do get the Colts coming up next. Then they go to the Jags and the Titans and the Bears and the Cardinals. So they have a lot of winnable games. I wouldn't panic yet. The story here to me is the Rams putting themselves back in the mix in the NFC West, sitting at 3-4, one game behind the Seattle Seahawks, 4-3, who the Bills play, obviously, on Sunday. Offense looked really good for the Rams, by the way. Now that's a team that all of a sudden looks a lot dangerous when the Bills have to visit in early November. All right, some really big, interesting matchups at 1 o'clock in the NFL, starting with the Eagles at Bengals. Could be this is maybe the biggest game kind of in the 1 o'clock slate when it comes to two different teams and, you know, what's on the line for them. Because the Eagles, even though they're 4-2, they're still trying to figure out, and everybody wants to know who they are, what they're all about. And they're a half game behind the Washington Commanders at 5-2. But they go to the Cincinnati Bengals, and the Bengals right now are two full games behind both Pittsburgh and Baltimore in the AFC North at 3-4. Two teams that are trying to find their way. Nobody can really kind of figure them out right now. They're going to try and figure each other out. Big game there in Cincinnati Sunday at 1 o'clock. Then you have the Ravens at the Browns. The reason I think this is a big game is because you never know what you're going to get now from Jameis Winston. Yeah, sure, the Browns are 1-6. They have not been good. But the Browns are kind of the kryptonite for the Ravens over the last few years. And this is a division matchup. They know each other. It's Jameis Winston wanting to prove that he belongs still in this league as a starter and can win games. I think the Browns can give a run here. I do. But the way the Ravens are playing, it's probably too tall of a task to ask, because the Ravens are playing exceptional football, and especially on offense. Lamar Jackson looking terrific. Derrick Henry, tough to stop, very tough. 5-2 Ravens at 1-6 Browns Sunday at 1 p.m. The Titans, they go to the Lions. Titans at 1-5. I mean, I don't know. Do we know? Is Mason Rudolph playing again? Will Levis is still out? I think that might be the case. Either way, they're going to the Lions. The Lions should smoke the Titans, right? I mean, that's the way it looks here. Lions, they're a scoring machine. Last three games, 42, 47, 31. They win at Minnesota last week in a big high-scoring affair, and now they get a Tennessee Titans team that really has some trouble scoring. We saw that last week against the Bills. I'd like for the Lions here to kind of take care of business quite early. Colts at Texans. You know, I just told you how, you know, the Browns can be the Ravens' kryptonite. Well, the Colts have actually had some success against the Texans over the last few years as well. You take a look, actually, last year, the Colts beat the Texans 31-20 early in the season, and then they played late in the season. It was only a two-point game on the final week of the season. Year before that, a one-point game, week 18, a tie. They tied. Remember that 2 years ago, they tied their opener, 2020. I mean, don't sleep on the Colts necessarily, but the Texans probably have too much firepower in this one coming back home to Houston. Packers are at Jaguars. Jaguars still trying to get off the mat. The Packers look really good. They have that last-second walk-off field goal last week to beat the Houston Texans. Now they go to Jacksonville, who has won two of their last three. They've scored 32 and 37, respectively, in those games. They came back from London after going 1-1 against the Bears and Patriots out there. I still would think that the Packers should take care of business here, but we know the Jags have talent, but the Packers just should have too much for the Jaguars here and probably will score a bunch of points. Cardinals at Dolphins, the return of Tua Tagovailoa. I mean, I think just simply the Dolphins on paper here should win this game, right? The return of Tua. Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle. They have not been able to do much without Tua on the field. Here are Miami's points scored this year. Starting with the game, they scored 20 in the opener. They beat the Jacksonville Jaguars. They come back late in the game. Then the Bills come to town. They lose. Tua gets hurt late, but they score 10. All right? Here's the number of points they've scored in the last 5 weeks. 10, 3, 12, 15, and 10.
Whoa.
They need Tua back. Look, I mean, he's not the best quarterback in the league. Far from it. But he makes that offense so much better because he's the perfect guy to run that offense. And now they get an Arizona Cardinals team that is like a yo-yo. I mean, they have rotated lose, win every other week for the last 4 weeks. And even beyond that, they right now they're sitting at 3-4. They're trying to keep pace in the NFC West as well. Big loss. They beat the Chargers last week. Remember that game? A couple controversial calls late, but 17-15, they got crushed by the Packers the week before. So, big game because the Dolphins come to Buffalo next week, the week after. So, you want to see what Tua does and get it back into that offense. And you hope he stays healthy, right? You don't want to see what happened to him with the concussions. That's a 1 o'clock game. Arizona Cardinals at Miami Dolphins. Jets at Patriots. Jets have not swept the Patriots, I think, since 2000, I read. It's been a long time. They should do it. I think the Jets are just going to take care of business with the Patriots. They should beat them pretty handily. If the Jets don't just smoke the Patriots, then either Drake May is really unbelievably good, or the Jets just, they are not anything. They're a shell of what we thought they'd be, and that would be more the case, I think, in this case. But they should beat the Patriots. They should beat them pretty handily, actually. I expect that. And then the Jets, if they do that, they go to 3-5. And that's why the Bills, you don't want to drop one here to Seattle. You want to keep that pace and keep that gap in the AFC East. Falcons at Buccaneers, big game. But man, the Buccaneers, they are decimated by injuries at the wide receiver spot. No Mike Evans, no Chris Godwin. Who's going to be the guy that steps up? Is it Jalen McMillan, Sterling Shepard? Falcons, big loss last week to the Seahawks after winning three in a row. They had won three straight division games. By the way, these two teams just played 3 weeks ago, and the Falcons won 36-30. I think with all the injuries to the Buccaneers, I'd take the Falcons here, but they're also a really hot and cold team. Saints are at the Chargers. Saints are getting a little bit healthier again. Who are the Chargers? They're kind of up and down every week. How do they want to play? Do they have an identity? I'm not sure. Why do you have Justin Herbert and you don't want him to throw the ball? I have no idea. But Chargers, after losing last week to 17-15 to the Cardinals, they take on a Saints team that started so hot but has since lost five in a row. 2-0 to start the year, 5-0 after that. I mean, Chargers at home, probably a Chargers win, but don't discount the Saints. Panthers at Broncos, this is crush city, right? I mean, what is Bryce Young going to do against the Broncos defense? The answer is nothing. I'd be stunned if the Panthers score more than 10 points in this game. I mean, maybe they get a backdoor TD late, you know, whatever. But I think the Broncos, not that the Broncos are some juggernaut with their offense, but their defense is really good, and the Panthers' offense stinks. It's just a horrible matchup for the Panthers. Chiefs at Raiders, yeah, the Raiders give the Chiefs a lot of problems. They beat them last year, we know that, but the Chiefs are 6-0. They're finding ways to win, and they'll figure it out in this one. They'll beat the Raiders. I'd be surprised if the Raiders won this game, but, I mean, the Raiders, they lost last week to the Rams by 5. And then before that, getting crushed, 32-13, 34-18. They did win a couple big games early in the year, including against the Baltimore Ravens, of course. But I'm not getting my hopes up here for the Raiders to beat the Chiefs. Bears at Commanders. Looks like Jaden Daniels. I don't think he's going to play. I don't know. No official word on that yet. Bears, 4-2. Commanders, who would have thought this game would be a matchup of two teams combined for 9-4? Wouldn't have thought that. Should be a fun game. That's a 4:25 p.m. start. Your night game Sunday night is the Cowboys and the 49ers. That is the Sunday night football game. Man, You got the Bears and Commanders combining for 9-4, and you got the Cowboys and 49ers combining for 6-7. Both these teams looking to salvage their season where they are right now. I think the 49ers win this game because I think the Cowboys are just bad. Just bad. Now, they did have a week to prepare. They had their bye week, and the 49ers are dealing with some injuries, obviously, as we know. Wide receiver spot. I think the 49ers win this game, but renewal of a very, very old, great rivalry in that one, by the way. All right, Monday night, Giants at Steelers. We'll talk about that on the Monday Extra Point Show. In the meantime, we'll take a timeout here. Our guy, Patrick Hammer, is going to join me next up. We're going to talk about the Seattle weather. Should be interesting. It's going to be wet. How wet? He'll let us know. But here in Buffalo, it's going to be fantastic this weekend and into next week. I'll let the meteorologist, Patrick Hammer, tell you all about it. But right now, it's time for a break. We'll be.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
Back in a Snap, brought to you by Snapdragon Apples, the official apple of the Buffalo Bills. All right, we have a couple updates here from Bills head coach Sean McDermott, who's also doing his weekly media session, Friday media session with others in the media after he appeared here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Just a little more expansion on what he told us here. Dwayne Carter, the rookie defensive tackle, has a wrist injury and will need surgery, and he's going to be out multiple weeks. This coming from Sean McDermott just a little while ago. So Sean McDermott says that Dwayne Carter, the Bills rookie defensive tackle, will need surgery. He's out multiple weeks. That is a tough, tough blow to a really nice rookie who's played really well lately. Also, Terrell Bernard being out is because of the ankle. It's not because of him having the personal absence that, you know, he's also missed with this week. He is with the team today, but he's not going to play in the game on Sunday due to the ankle injury. Bills at Seahawks on Sunday. To me, it's looking like kind of typical Seattle weather that you think about this time of year. But let's ask Patrick Hammer, who joins me now on the Western Hotline.
Break it down. Stop. Have a time.
So I got to be honest, Pat, like you texted me last night. You're like, hey, there's a little bit more goes into it in Seattle, not just this rain you're going to see. And I'm like, what are we talking about here? You know, why do you gotta put me in the fear bunker? You know, I mean, that's what we got. That's what we got going on. How are you, buddy?
I'm good. Here's the deal. There's more than meets the eye with Seattle weather. So what I was trying to suggest to you, that it's actually probably going to be a little bit better than what you would expect, despite, you know, the forecast calls for rain. And the entire region of Western Washington is going to get a couple of days of heavy rain. And of all of the NFL games, Sunday, Monday, the worst weather, of course, will be in Seattle. So the Bills are going to play in the worst NFL weather this Sunday. However, there is this phenomenon that takes place there where when storms kind of blow through and there's still rain going on, the mountains to the west of Seattle, it's the Olympic Mountain Range, they go really high. They tend to block a lot of the rain into the city when the wind turns from southwest to west. What I'm saying is that it's called a rain shadow. It happens there all the time. So even though the entire region may be getting rain, in Seattle and in downtown and by the stadium, it may be, in fact, dry despite the real rainy forecast, or at least the rain turns to really light stuff, light showers, and I think that's going to be the case tomorrow. It is going to be pouring in the morning, but by kickoff there, local time, was it 1:10?
It's 1:05 p.m. their time, 4:05 p.m. And you mean Sunday. You said tomorrow. I just want to make sure.
I'm sorry.
Okay, yeah, just want to make sure.
Sorry. So the forecast is a wet one for Sunday, but I think for kickoff and through the game, could there be some rain showers? Yeah, but it's not going to be heavy, and I do think that there will be some dry weather in there as well. It will be breezy. Have you been to that stadium before, Sal? I think you have.
Yeah,
right?
2016, it was a night game. It was beautiful weather, actually.
Yeah, okay. As you know, they've got the openings north-south, and with a southwest wind, it's not a direct wind right into the stadium, but it, you know, kind of will take a bend into it and swirl around a little bit. Stadium is pretty well protected from the weather, actually. But there will be a breeze and it will be damp. But I think the heaviest rain will be moving through in the morning and really ease off by kickoff.
I'm looking at it now. In that game that was played on November 7th of 2016 at night, at kickoff, it was 61 degrees and 4 mile an hour winds. Not bad.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, that was nice.
There's a lot of, real quick, just about Seattle weather, or Western Washington weather, which makes it so bizarre. Seattle gets rain, but they don't get as much as you think. And there are areas, because of those Olympic Mountains, there's an area, it's a town called Squim, Washington, which is about 40 miles from Seattle, that gets less rainfall than Los Angeles and as many sunny days as Phoenix, Arizona. Think about that. Seattle, cloudy, damp, 40 miles away because of those mountains and the effects that it has there, as sunny as Phoenix. So the mountains really can make for wacky conditions in the Puget Sound area.
Yeah, talking with people in Seattle, you know, other guys covering the Seahawks, the way it was described to me is it's like this misty, fine rain that you kind of don't even notice a little bit. Like, like you don't need an umbrella, anything like that. Sure, like it's just like you might be like, oh, yeah, it's coming, you know, it's there, right? But not something that really gets noticeable.
It's just not impactful, you know, whereas areas to the north and the south and up in the mountains, it can be just, it can rain hard in Seattle, but most of it, you know, especially in the situation we're going to have on Sunday, it's just kind of nuisance, most of it. And it's light, and you're right. Sometimes you just don't even notice it.
All right. Well, while that's happening in Seattle, what's happening here in Buffalo this weekend?
So not as elite as it was last weekend. But today and tomorrow, you know, we'll have a few spotty showers this afternoon. Not a big deal. Friday night lights should be okay. Tomorrow, it might start off okay, but there are a couple of spotty showers around, especially in the afternoon. I don't cancel your plans because of it, but you can't rule out a few spotty showers. Sunday looks spectacular, mostly sunny, and temperatures in the 50s. Now, this is what's going to be interesting. Next week, we're right back into the 70s. It's going to be a windy week, but we are on tap for possibly the warmest Halloween on record.
Wow.
We're forecasting 73.
Wow.
The record high for Halloween is 73, set back in 1971. So unlike last year when it snowed, this year it's going to be warm. It won't be cold. Having said that, there could be some rain showers around, which, you know, I'd rather have the cold than the rain, but we can't rule out a chance of showers on Halloween, but it's certainly going to be warm.
I remember it snowing last year, and it wasn't that bad. It was a little light snow. No. It was a little cold. It was colder, obviously. That was totally fine. A few years before that, maybe 2 years before that, it was just this total downpour storm. Remember that one?
And yes, and it was sideways wind. I mean, it was crazy. I mean, it was a, you know, let's let's hit one or two houses on the trick-or-treat path and we're done. You know, it was wild. So there's a lot of variety on Halloween around here. I mean, this is the time, you know, it's kind of the entrance to all possibilities weather-wise around here. But this one, again, just as warm as it's been lately, it's not surprising that it's going to be as warm as it can get next Thursday on Halloween.
Yeah, no doubt. Pat Hammer here on the Wester Hotline. I mean, I know that I'm putting you on the spot here. I do this sometimes. World Series. I hate the fact that the World Series is played as late as it is because you get these cities, you know, in the East where it's cold. I mean, I remember when in 2001, when the Yankees played the Diamondbacks, Jeter hits a home run to tie the game late in the game, and I remember the call was Mr. November because literally it had turned into November. It was Halloween night and turned into November. I mean, it's just, to me, a little bit ridiculous, and I think the season goes too long. That being said, they're in L.A. tonight and tomorrow. Then they come back to Yankee Stadium early next week. So does this weather that you're talking about hold for that, too, and we'll have good baseball weather?
Good baseball weather, no doubt,
okay,
for the New York portion. Yeah, you usually don't need to really worry about Chavez Ravine in
right.
Los Angeles for weather, you know, in November. But for next week, for the games in New York, I think it looks fine. It might be breezy. That's okay. But it will be dry. Any rain threat for New York City is possibly the very end of next week. But it's not looking too bad. And by the way, peeking ahead to the Dolphins game here next Sunday, it also looks warm. So it could be another warm Sunday afternoon. I can't rule out showers that day, but no cold. You know, it's a little cool now, but no late fall cold is on tap for the next 7 to 10 days. So we're looking pretty good.
All right, Pat. And there was one other thing I was going to ask you. Oh, yeah, World Series. Are you who are you rooting for in this one?
Okay, so, you know, growing up, you know, I grew up in San Francisco, so I would never like the Dodgers. I was always a Giants fan. However, I just remember the last Yankees Dodgers World Series, right? And wasn't that 81?
Anyway,
yes. I have vivid memories of that Dodgers team with Fernando Valenzuela, who unfortunately just passed. We were just talking about him in the studio the other day, and then we come to find out the next day he passed. Ron Say, Davey Lopes, Steve Garvey, you know, I don't know. I kind of had an affinity for that era of Dodgers baseball. I can't say my passion goes either way, but yeah, I'm gonna hold for the Yankees. The Dodgers just tick me off.
All right, man. Well, you know I am too. It should be fun. I'm just glad. I didn't want to play the Mets because I couldn't stomach the thought of losing to the Mets in the World Series if that had happened.
I hear you.
I mean, I don't want to lose to the Dodgers, believe me, but at least it's a little bit more like, you know, it's not as shameful for us Yankee fans. You know what I mean?
Has anybody checked on Howard Simon? I know he was devastated about the Mets. Has anybody, you know, welfare check, make sure he's okay?
I don't know. I think he is. I think he did pick the Bills this week, so I think we're all good on that front.
We're all good. Okay, good.
All right. Hey, buddy, thanks a lot. Enjoy the weekend. Thanks a lot for everything, and we'll talk next Friday. Now, hey, we got a run of Sunday games here, which is good, so we'll talk on Fridays.
Love that. Okay. Talk
all right, to you buddy. Week. Thank you. You too. That is Patrick Hammer on the Wester Hotline, and of course, giving us the weather in Seattle coming up. I mean, look, I'm just reading some of the comments. Sean McDermott ruled out Terrell Bernard, and I see people online, at Sal Sports, by the way, on social, talking about his availability as, you know, his career is being an issue. I just look, Terrell Bernard missed one game his rookie year, and he played every game last year until he got hurt in the playoff game. And then, of course, he got hurt this year, but I don't think availability has been an issue for Terrell Bernard. He's been on the field, and he didn't start every game his rookie year, of course, only one game. He didn't really get in a lot of games, to be quite honest with you. And he played every game last year after Matt Milano went out until it got to the playoffs, and he got hurt in that first playoff game. And then he had to miss the second playoff game. So one game missed there. Looking here, he did miss playoff game against the Bengals, it looks like, too. So looking at the overall, I don't think availability has been an issue. He is a little bit smaller than most middle linebackers. I understand that, and I understand why people can kind of get there, but not much you can do when you get stepped on your ankle and it turns, right? I mean, just that happens. It's part of football. I always say it. Yeah, they have some injuries. It's just every team has injuries. Go look at every injury report. Chris Guy's declared out for every team. The Bills have three this week. And hopefully they're getting healthier with Matt Milano. It's good to hear that from Sean McDermott, that they are still hoping to get him back at some point. So We'll keep you updated on that. But in the meantime, no Terrell Bernard, no Curtis Samuel, and no Dwayne Carter, who, in case you missed it, Sean McDermott says wrist surgery. He'll be out multiple weeks. Injured reserve is an option for Dwayne Carter. That's your Barnes Firm Injury Report, brought to you by the Barnes Firm. Injured? For help, call 1-800-8-MILLION. We'll take a final timeout. We'll come back here. We'll get you to Sabres Live, and then One Bills Live after that, but a little bit more to go here on a Friday, Football Friday, on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
I've got some family in town for a birthday party and things like that. So not mine.
Cool birthday party? Like, what are you doing? Going to some cool place?
My girlfriend's nephew's first birthday.
Oh, all right. Yeah. First birthday.
On Sunday, by the way. So we're doing the party and then watching the game.
Okay, so was this planned out with the game and the party
and all
that?
It's a football themed party, too.
Okay.
It's
okay.
Like, it's everything. It's gonna be
great. That's not bad. You could do that.
Oh, yeah, no, it's going to be good. Like, the party's going to be over, and then the game gets on. So it's going to be great. Perfect timing.
I will tell you, I still remember feeling bad, but this happened when I was probably, I would have been probably 85, 86, I guess this would be somewhere in there. So I would have been 12, maybe 13, somewhere in there. My friend had a 12th birthday party, I guess it'd be. And he planned it on a Sunday at a roller rink, and the Bills, even though they were bad, they were playing the Patriots, and I basically fibbed and said I was sick and couldn't come.
I mean, for a Patriots game, like a Bills-Patriots game.
No, this was 1985 when the Bills sucked and the Patriots were not. The Patriots, I think, went to the Super Bowl that year. But
never mind.
I mean, this is not Tom Brady era, okay?
Oh, I know that. I'm just saying, though, like, it's still like it's that rivalry, that hatred that's always there.
Yeah, I know, but I feel bad.
Yeah.
I'm like, why is he scheduling a birthday party? Well, that kid, he grew up, he was a Cowboys fan. When I was a kid, like, you had Steelers fans, Cowboys fans, the Bills, like, that was passed down from the 70s dads and the 60s dads and generations. So most of my friends were Bills fans, but some were fans of other teams. So this particular friend, he was a Cowboys fan, and he scheduled his birthday party at a local roller rink, and the Patriots, they were playing the Bills and the Patriots, and I'm like, I don't really want to go. I want to stay home and watch the Bills game. And I'm sure the Bills probably lost. I have no idea. But and the Bills stunk. They went 2-14 two straight years those years. Didn't matter. That's when you know you're a real fan, when you're a kid, right?
But it's a football Sunday. I guess if you're a kid.
It was a kid. I was 12.
Okay.
Going to my friend's birthday party.
Did you get him a good gift at least, probably?
I have no idea. I did not remember. I think I said, I'll bring your gift on Monday to school. I mean, probably never did. I kept it myself, knowing me. I'm a horrible person. Horrible. And then I will tell you, like, the big one, though, I will tell you like this, is when we were living in Florida, we had friends who were really, really big, like huge Florida Gators fans and boosters. Like, they donated money to the school and program. But yet, the girl, she got married on a fall Saturday. And we're all like, what? And the family was even like, why did you do this? And it happened to be Florida playing Auburn that day during the wedding. And everybody was like, come on. Like, what? It was this huge wedding at this really nice country club. And we go to the wedding. And I mean, everybody knows. Like, I'm like, all right, I'm not a Florida Auburn fan, but I'm a college football fan. But the people at the wedding, the family members were mad. And there was this little side room, and people were sneaking off to watch the game instead of being on the dance floor. And the bride came in. She saw it. The bride came into the room and saw everybody and got really mad. And I'm in there, and I kind of, like, scrouched down in my chair, like, don't see me. I'm not here. But she was mad at, like, her family members that were there.
That's kind of your own fault, though. I mean, if you schedule, family history,
like, you could say, well, they can only get the venue. Well, then get another venue. It's a Saturday in the fall. You're a big Florida Gators fan, right?
Right.
Anyway, that happened.
Or just pick a different day.
Listen to the Bills game on WGR, of course, and along the Buffalo Bills Radio Network on Sunday, 4:05 p.m. kickoff. We'll have all day, all morning, all afternoon pregame coverage, postgame coverage. I'll be on with the roundtable at 2 p.m. with Eric and Chris. Sabres Live up next. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.